What do you get when you take the movie Psycho, mix it in with a little bit of a flamethrower and a very low body count, shake it up and then throw it into a house on the Jersey Shore? Well, we all had very different opinions on what we wound up getting from this mix. Tonight, don't go in the house on the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. You're listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. I am Joe.
Jay here.
Hey, you guys, it's Matt.
Don't Go in the House was released on March 28th, 1980, and it was directed by Joseph Ellison with writers Ellen Hamlin and Jose Mansfeld. This film stars Dan Grimaldi as Donald Kohler. Don is an introverted man who lives in a large Victorian home with his mother. Don's life is shrouded in dark secrets, stemming from an abusive relationship with his mother, who used burning to instill discipline in his younger years. We not only learn that his mother has been deceased, kept at home as a corpse, but also about Donald's late-night trips to lure women into his home, where he burns them alive in his dilapidated home. While he wrestles with his inner demons, he risks being found out by his co-worker Bob and the local priest Father Garrity. We watch as he struggles to keep everything together while his world literally and figuratively burns down around him. This movie was released by Film Venturer International. We don't really have any movie news per se, but I do want to talk to you about two things that are coming to Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast in the near future. We're going to have a Discord that we're going to be setting up soon that you guys could use to communicate with us, tell us what you think about the show, questions, all that kind of nonsense, and also soon after that, a Patreon page. And also, if you're interested, we have more original art up on the Instagram page. That's at Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. We got stuff put up there by me. We got stuff put up there by Sean. Mostly the things we're putting up there are geared towards the slasher stuff, this podcast that you're listening to. But there'll be all sorts of stuff up there throughout the year. So definitely check that out. Let us know what you think about that. Don't Go in the House. All right, what did you guys think of this movie? I'm assuming it's the first time you've both seen it.
Well, my summary would be the life of Donnie, who was burned as a child. So he got a job at the burning stuff factory where he watched a guy get burned. Then his mom dies, so he burns women. This movie was truly a trailblazer in terrible horror movies. By some miracle, they had a movie about a serial killer with no on-screen deaths, no nudity, and no plot. I must give credit where credit is due. They taught people how to not make horror movies.
I couldn't agree with you more, Matt. I really couldn't.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. I can't wait to read this. I don't pre-prepare much, but I was like, that's literally, like, I finished watching it, and I was like, I was like, Katie did it. I stayed awake. I don't know. I just did not like that movie.
Yeah, It was not an easy watch, to be honest with you. I actually watched it in probably 3 or 4 small, like 20 to 30 minute segments, and thankfully it's not too long of a movie.
No,
I was like, oh my god, okay, and I just like walked up. I was like, I'll come back to this. Yeah, it was a not great, just really pretty much everything about it was not great.
Yeah, I like this movie when it was called Psycho and it was good.
Yeah, there's a lot of homages or biting off of Psycho big time. Yeah. It's even the house itself is like,
yeah, they framed the house to look just like the Psycho house.
Well, I will tell you guys something, and not to shit on your greatly written introduction to the movie, but you guys both watched the TV edit.
What?
Yeah. So if you watch this movie anywhere online for free and didn't see nudity and didn't see some of the most horrific on-screen deaths that I've seen in a movie, you saw
what?
You saw the TV cut.
Oh, okay. So hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because I don't know which version Matt saw, but
okay.
Should we go just like right into it? The first death.
Tell you this.
I can tell you what the first kill was.
Did you see nudity?
Yes.
Like a lot.
Yeah, because they were like hanging from a chain, naked, all of them.
Right.
Or most of them, not all of them, but yeah, most of them.
No, you saw it though.
Yeah, you see them burned alive, and they use incredible special effects to pull that off.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the version I saw.
I would have watched.
Because that was the first kill.
I didn't know that. I honestly, I didn't know that the free versions on online were like that until I was doing a little research in the movie, and I was like, oh shit. I was like, I wonder what version they watched, but it was kind of too late at that point because it was like yesterday. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just leave it alone. See what's what. Because I had no idea. So I wasn't like fucking with everybody. I just was like, oh shit.
No.
To me, it was like a surprise too. And then like if you watch it on Tubi, it's the TV cut, but it's called Don't Go in the House. If you watch it on Amazon, it's also a TV cut, but it's called The Burning, because this movie had alternate titles. But everywhere you go to watch it for free, you're not apparently seeing the uncut version. So when you were
That's
like describing the movie, I'm like, oh shit, Matt did not see it the way it was supposed to be, because you're like, no on-screen deaths, no nudity. I'm like, oh, there was some pretty horrific deaths on screen.
I mean, to me, the first kill was the most brutal, and it was kind of like shocking to me to see it. So essentially, Matt, what you missed out on is when he walks into the room with his little beekeeper hazmat type
Yeah, I
suit.
said beach. Yeah.
Yeah. So he
Like a
walks
Mega
in
Man villain.
with a fucking flamethrower, and you watch him incinerate this person, and she's just up in flames. I was like, oh damn. I was like, that's actually pretty cool, pretty brutal. And that was like, to me, my favorite kill, my favorite death, because then it was just very repetitive after that, but definitely opened it up with the start.
They show him burn his mom, or no, I don't remember.
No.
No, because the mom died natural,
No, I know, but her
well,
body
but
was
she's
thin.
burned later. Yeah.
Yeah, off screen. Okay, I just got confused if that was like even in it at all. Okay.
You can do anything you want now. You're free now.
See, but and see,
Now,
that was
bro.
another thing that was very confusing to me, because obviously he had these issues with his mom, right? A la Psycho. She was very abusive, very manipulative. And then he takes this anger and aggression out on all these women that he meets in the street, which, first of all, I thought this movie should have been called The Pickup Artist, because this guy was picking up girls left and right. It's like, I need to take tips from this guy, because I walk on the street, I can't pick up anybody.
Or burn any of
So,
them.
well, I mean, I don't know, because I don't have the chance. If I only had the chance, but they
Matt,
won't let me have
you
the
burn
chance.
them?
They won't give me a chance. I don't understand why.
Matt's like a rom-com when we saw the horror movie.
Yeah. But he goes around, he's picking up all these girls, but then it's like, all right, I get it. You have all this like aggression towards women, but like the inner voice in his head was also a woman,
Yeah.
which was very confusing to me, because it was like, do you hate them and want to kill them, or are you just going to follow whatever they say?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we have Donnie, right? Donnie Kohler, and he works at, like Matt said, the burning factory. He burns stuff. I had no idea what the fuck that was, but yeah, we learned that his mother abused him by like basically holding his hand over the stove, and trying to burn the sin out of him, so to speak. And so when his mother, like a la Psycho, dies in the house, pretty much right in the beginning, it might have been like really like the second scene in the movie, he goes on like a killing spree, lighting women on fire. I'm assuming that resembled his mother because all those women looked alike. And yeah, like Jay says, he's quite the pickup artist. But we don't get a lot of kills, period. There's really only like three victims, right? There's like the body count of three. That's pretty low for like a horror slasher movie. This movie's kill list is one of the shortest we will probably ever see on the show, with only four kills seen on screen. To talk about the kills, let's talk about the cast. We follow pyromaniac Donald Kohler, who starts the movie by killing our first victim, Kathy, by burning her with a flamethrower in his basement. Now, this will be the cause of death for the other two victims as well. Our second victim is unnamed. I tried very hard to find out if the character had a name somewhere, but couldn't find it. She's a motorist that he picks up on the side of the road, also burned to death at his house. And our third victim is a woman named Linda, who is, I don't even need to say it, you know what happened to her. In the movie's climax, Donald is stopped by his co-worker Bob and by Father Garrity. There are some talks about Father Garrity being a kill. Some people list him as the fourth kill, but it does appear that he survives. I didn't see that happen in the movie. I don't know if there's a different version out there that maybe I didn't catch, but I'm going to put that to rest and say he does survive in the movie. There's also talks about the mother being part of the kill list, but she's dead before the movie starts, so I wouldn't count that. In the conclusion of the film, Donald is himself killed when his home burns down with him inside of it. And that is the kills for Don't Go in the House, a very short list.
In the version I watched, like when I watch movies in general, I for the podcast, I take notes, and I was just going through my notes to see what I want to contribute to this conversation. Long, long shopping scene. Now we're at a disco. At the disco, he puts a girl's head on fire. Then he gets beat up, trying to stay awake.
Did you write a haiku about it?
Yeah, I swear to God. This is like one of those poems I would read on the subway. Look in, it's just like some weird abstract thing.
There's his voices, right? Like voices in his head. And, you know, I thought the whole time it was just like, I don't know, some kind of like suppressed trauma that was like, you know, making these voices in his head. But really, like at the end, doesn't the ending kind of throw all that like.
Yeah, like they're demons or something.
Right. You know? Like what's. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. So I was going to say like towards that part of the movie right at the end where, you know, they reanimate and all this stuff. Like I definitely didn't think it was anything demonic. I think he was just like mentally ill and right. He was traumatized from all this childhood upbringing and then
rightfully so, yeah.
Right. And then like, you know, he kind of had that like full break when his mom died because now it's like, all right, what do I do? But then he goes on a tear and then like he's still feeling some level of, I guess, guilt or something. That was my best guess because now in his head he's thinking, oh shit, like they're coming back for me. Like I can't escape. That's the way that I felt.
Was thinking more about the final scene where you see the kid get his ass whooped and then the same voices appear in that kid's head, where I was like, is this still just symbolism of, okay, you know, this is about the cycle of violence and how child abuse produces and about how child abuse produces toxic adults, you know, or.
Yeah, and that's exactly violent. How I felt.
Right. And you could kind of, I guess, take it either way, because you could just say that that's just happening to another person. But like, I was wondering like, oh, is it like a haunting, you know, like in the town or something? Obviously it was local news he was watching, right? Cause they wouldn't like have that, like, I don't think somewhere else, but the way they were talking about it. So I was like, oh, I don't know if like, it's just something that haunts the town or whatever, but, cause maybe it was the same thing that made his mother do it to him. Like, I don't know. Not to get too deep in a movie that has two titles and two completely different versions that.
Yeah. What I didn't get was like Bobby, like, did he have some kind of a savior complex or a crush on Donnie, or was he just a really,
yeah,
really nice guy?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I thought he was like this super nice guy. And then all of a sudden he's like,
well, that was the funniest
part.
Let's
go fuck some bitches and cheat on my wife. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like when he called him up, that was like so shocking to me because he wasn't like, oh yeah, like let's hang out. He was like, yeah, let's go cheat on my wife. I got a couple bitches lined up and I need a wingman. It's like,
isn't
okay.
The same Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby, how are you falling?
I thought you were a cool dude, Bobby. What happened?
I think I have a theory on that, and I think it's that, you know, when they were at the fire factory and Ben, right, the coworker, he gets burned in the beginning and Donnie's just fucking staring at him. I think he could like, I see a potential sick person in this guy. Like we could be friends, you know? He'll be the kind of guy that'll go along with it because he knows he's a little fucked up. Because like at the end of the movie, he knows like this guy's fucking crazy, but he didn't know, I guess, that he was like violent as well. And that's when he goes to the priest and he's like, hey, you gotta help me fucking.
You gotta help him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fourth body, right? He kills the priest.
No, the priest lives.
I guess they cut that out. They didn't want to.
Yeah. Bob like puts him out or whatever. He makes.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Everyone. Yeah, those fire blankets are just everywhere.
Yeah. Well, when you work in a fire factory, it's just protocol.
Oh, my, I got one in my car. I have the one priest, as a pocket square.
The priest to me was such an interesting character. Because he was very unpriest-like to me. Like, yeah. You know, I went to Catholic high school, so I have some understanding of what priests like. And this guy just did not rub priest in any way to me. I was like, this is just like some fucking douche wearing a, you know, priest collar. Like,
and all of his audio sounded ADR. Like, his voice was like so much weirder than everybody else's. I don't know.
It was just like, I feel like he was probably the actor was like putting on a bit. Like he was trying hard to just like, I don't know, disrupt the movie or something. Cause yeah, he was definitely off compared to the rest of the characters.
I gotta tell you though, that my favorite fucking scene in the movie was when he just smashed that candle.
Yeah. It was funny as hell. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's one of those moments where like I wish I was in the room with you guys because it's so fucking funny. And then he goes outside, he gets the shit beat out of him. She's all upset.
I don't understand how he got his ass beat. I mean, he was a Green Beret in the Marines.
He worked at the burning stuff factory.
Yeah.
Which was so funny, by the way, because he was just standing there, just like in a trance, looking at the guy burning to death. Oh, which, speaking of which, So they drop a couple F bombs, mainly the boss. I don't know what the boss is. I forget what the boss's name was.
On the TV cut, but yeah.
I guess Matt didn't see him get called a faggot like three times by the boss. Yeah, it was pretty
No.
explicit. Yeah. I was like, ooh, different times, different times.
Jay
No.
just made up his own fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
I
the
was
one
like,
I
in
made up in my head.
there was no homophobia in this.
Different times,
No.
you know.
No.
You know, I thought the effects are pretty great, and they did some interesting things with it because like they were only gonna show a few things, right? They had like three fucking victims. Aside from like the ghosts, this was their big show. This is their big, event. And the first one is the most intense, and they used like a dummy, essentially. And I think overlays, I think they used some like overlays with fire effects. I'm not sure for that one. I know they definitely did at the end when like everything's on fire in the room. You could kind of tell.
Right.
The fire effects are really well done, which is great, right? Because the movie's about like a pyromaniac serial killer. So like that's going to be the thing you want to get right. So I'll definitely give it praise for that. And with a lower body count, you can really focus on those things a little bit better. I know typically in a slasher, that's not what you want. I get that. But I think it worked in this movie because this movie is a little unconventional in the slasher's formula. It has a lot of the main tropes that you need, but there's a small body count and there's no final girl, there's like two big things that you don't get here.
Well, I guess the closest thing you can get to that is the
Bob.
sister,
Is it Bob?
the girl, the disco
Bobby.
girl,
Final
Bobby,
Bobby.
that got the candle chucked in her face.
Has she
That's,
lived?
I guess that's the final girl, but that's only because her brother was chasing him out of the disco.
Yeah, if she wasn't a virgin, it's not like she's ever getting laid again.
They'll get her a job at the fire
At
factory.
the burn shit factory. They're like, what do you do? What's the job description? I burn things. Like, you set them on fire and close the door? No, I move around with a stick.
Okay, all kinds of stuff.
I love the multiple zoom-ins on the can. It was like, look at the can. Look at the can. Zoom. I'm getting really close to the camera here, but sorry. I think the can might explode. It says, watch, explosive.
That's like a whole another thing, right? Because you know, I talked earlier about how he has this female voice guiding him. Even though he presumably hates women because of his mother. And he's also kind of obsessed with fire, I guess, which is why he worked at the fire factory. But to me, if he got burnt as a kid and is like, to some level, I would imagine scared of it, feel some sort of negative way. Like, why would you work at a fire factory
Yeah.
other than to just watch your coworkers burn alive?
Yeah, on the off chance that one of your
Right.
coworkers. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
It's
just like a
a little
weird
silly.
premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he like took equipment home from there to use, right? He bought the shit.
No, yeah, he got his own outfit. He got his own flamethrower.
How'd he get the
Flamethrower
flamethrower?
store, yeah.
I guess. What did he buy from that store that he went to?
The
I forget.
beekeeper outfit or the whatever, asbestos outfit.
No, remember when he was knocking on the woman's door and she was like, he was
Flowers.
like, let me in, let
Flowers for
me
his
in. I
mom.
bought flowers for
But he
his
was really
mom.
going in to fucking pick
Right, to
her up.
get her. Yeah, and then she was getting like harassed by the guys on the street and he came like knight in shining armor to save her. And oh, yeah, I just got to go stop in my house real quick.
That worked.
He's got it. Yeah, trust me, I took notes. I took more notes on that than I did for the movie to talk about. I'm gonna go try some of these things next week. Barge into someone's store while they're closing.
You just walk out in the beekeeper outfit, but you're holding the flowers.
Pick up.
On
This is all.
fire. Really, this is a kind of a question for Jay then, because you saw like the death scene, especially the first one. That's kind of like the
Yeah,
main.
the first one was like. To me, the first one was the best one. It was the coolest one because it was really like surprising
Yeah.
because you didn't know where it was going when
What'd you think of the
he got her.
effect?
I thought it was really cool. I actually think the practical effects were really good. The burning scenes were all great. The bodies at the end when they reanimated, I thought that actually looked really good,
They look cool.
especially for the
Well,
time.
that wasn't the version you saw too, right, Matt? I'm assuming the goat, like the
Yeah,
goat. Yeah.
they look pretty cool, but I was like literally trying to stay awake by that point. I was like, okay.
I could see that too, though, because even like uncut version of the movie, it kind of starts off, pretty fast paced, I think, with the first death. It's intense, and then the other ones come pretty quickly, and then there is like a lull because like the second and third act really are just like this inner like turmoil he's facing, and like the priest, and then like having these like visions and nightmares or whatever, talking to the fucking corpses that he has set up in the room. So it does kind of slow down a bit until you get to the disco scene, right, where everything just kind of comes to a head and things get real fast again, and he's bringing as many women as he can back and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, he picked up those two girls that were looking for a party.
Yeah.
I just love how he made up in his head and told the girls, I guess, to try to impress them. He was like, yeah, I got jumped. Yeah, it was three guys, but I beat them up. Yeah, I'm a Green Beret. I'm in the Navy. They're like, hold on a second, wait. What you're saying doesn't line up right now. Nah, it's good. Don't worry about it. It's like, whatever.
I like that it has like a small body count because I think it kind of works with the tension of him picking up the women and like them being in the house or how he's going to get into the house. And, you know, when they're there in the house, like what's, you know, when's this going to happen? There's like a decent amount of tension, I think, built this movie. I'll just go to say, like, I really enjoy the movie. I think it's pretty good. I don't know, Matt, if you saw like the other version, maybe you'll change your mind about it.
Yeah, I mean, a horror movie without horror is
Night
pretty
Swim.
awful. Yeah. I was so mad. I was like, why didn't you include me on this? Like, I sat down and I told my friend and Kate, and I was like, yeah, let me just tell you the story of Night Swim. And I just kept going.
I still get to see that.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
It's not
I was
cool.
like, it's about a haunted pool. That's just the premise. It gets better.
Trust me, it gets better from there. I swear it.
Oh man. Yeah. I liked his
Yeah.
beekeeper outfit.
Yeah. It
Yeah,
was
I
a cool
mean, pretty
beekeeper
silly.
outfit. Yeah, that's for sure.
I can't wait to draw that villain. Did you guys recognize him, by the way? He's in
He
a
looked familiar to me.
very popular show that has recently had a renaissance of sorts because it just turned 25 years old and people are watching because it's being promoted again. He was in Sopranos. He was Patsy.
Oh.
Yeah, he's in like the whole series basically. He's in
Yeah.
many episodes. Obviously, you
Interesting.
know, he's much older and his kind of hair's thinning. He's got glasses, but yeah, I
Now
recognized him.
he's on SEAL Team 6 now in that one.
He's a green seal.
So this movie was kind of filmed locally. It was filmed in Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey. This house was sort of condemned at the time. I don't know if it was supposedly like a low-income housing location or just abandoned, but whatever the case may be, they filmed in here and it looked like that. That was just, you know, it worked, I guess, because the aesthetic was, you know, this like shitty house, and it's just that's what the house looked like. So a few years after that, the house was actually bought by the community because they were going to knock it down, but apparently it was like this historic house built by someone important, like back in like the late 1800s. So they restored the house. They made it a museum for the area. It's called the Strauss Mansion. That was the guy's name that built it. And now it's kind of like a museum, like a historical museum for the area. And one of the things that's kind of cool about it is, first of all, it's close, so you can kind of go to it. But obviously, you guys don't give a shit. But for a guy like me who liked this movie, in October, they actually do a viewing of this movie in the house.
That's pretty cool.
I'm
Do you
sure.
think they
TV.
show your version
Yep.
or my
No,
version?
I was just like, I was gonna say, I'm sure it's the TV edit 100%.
Yeah.
The other one is pretty bad. This was one of the videos that you know, Britain deemed a video nasty, right? Like they had these like groupings of videos that were basically banned from the country, and some of the people that made the movies were prosecuted for creating them. This one wasn't one of them, but there were a few that were, and that's like a whole another thing to get into. I won't really talk about that right now, but
I
maybe.
really thought that the purpose of you putting this movie on the list was going to be about censorship, in that I'm like, what happened to this movie kind of thing. But now I'm realizing it is inadvertently, it's like the version I saw, it's like how when it's completely gutted, but it's a for TV version. I just don't understand why a for TV version would be on streaming services.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the movie it has like there's like three versions out there. And now originally when the movie came out, they had to make cuts to it as it was. Even the one that Jay saw, I don't believe was actually in the theater. There were cuts made because they thought it was way too violent, way too graphic with the nudity and literally like lighting a woman on fire in a very realistic looking way. So there were major cuts done to this. And again, like I said, they were almost prosecuted for even making the movie. The only reason they were not is because they did made the necessary cuts for the theater. So there was a theatrical cut that was more violent than what you saw. Then a TV edit came out, and the TV edit adds scenes to it, kind of like Halloween did, where they need to pad
Probably
time.
extended
Yes.
the disco shopping scene, and
I
yeah.
think so. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't speak for what was added, but I bet it's stuff like that.
It's
They
a really
padded it.
long scene.
Yeah, it was. They padded it for time, basically. So there's that TV, and that's unfortunately kind of what's out there right now. And then the third version is really only seen on the Blu-ray release that came out like 2 years ago. And Jay, it's probably what you want to seeing, where they kind of combined the TV edit scenes and they put the stuff back in that was cut out originally. So it's like the ultimate version of it. It's the most violent. It's the best one you could see. And honestly, nobody really saw that until a couple of years ago. Yeah. Oh yeah. The movie suffered heavy edits even back then. And like I said, I'll get into the video nasty stuff, like maybe another episode, just dedicate like 20, 30 minutes to it. But it was like a huge thing that went on that affects most of the movies that we're going to talk about this season.
What was the first movie that we watched? I forgot already.
To all a good night.
Well, good. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, because I was trying to figure out where Don't Go in the House lined up from the other movies that we watched.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember Till All Good Night. But
Well,
yeah, I was gonna say I liked Till All Good Night more than I did Don't Go in the House.
Terminator.
Now, critically, Don't Go in the House did not do well. It's still considered to be not a great film by horror film critics. Although people will give it that it is really dark. Really gruesome and really out there, and things that you just won't find anymore today. The movies they don't make movies like this anymore, essentially. So it has that going for it. You know, it had no sequels, it had no remakes, it was kind of just forgotten about. And it's in this weird spot where it's not necessarily close to a kind of slasher that we're getting moving forward. And it's not like the stuff that came before it, which was more like that 70s sort of vibe. That the early 80s had. It's somewhere in the middle, and I think because of that, it just sort of gets lost. The only thing that stands out about it is the censorship issues and the grotesque things they show in this movie, if you see the uncensored version. You can find the movie on a lot of streaming platforms, but it is not the uncut version. There is a DVD version that came out in 1998. There was a second DVD release in 2005, also not really much on there. It really wasn't until the Scorpion release that came out in 2015 on Blu-ray, where we got to see this uncut version for the first time. I think three different versions were put on that particular DVD. If you want to see it uncut, you're going to be hard pressed to find it, but I do recommend checking this out in that way if you can, because it's a pretty great movie, I think.
Yeah, there were three titles for this movie. It was Don't Go in the House, The Burning, and Don't Watch This Movie.
I think I watched the last one.
And that's my recommendation.
Yeah. Like I said, I thought some of the practical effects were really cool. You know, the burning of the first victim for sure. The reanimation of the burnt corpses at the end, I thought was cool. But then there was a lot of lackluster parts in the middle. The acting wasn't great. There was just some nonsensical issues that you had to deal with and just accept. Like he works at a burning factory.
I'm gonna honestly, as af just after this conversation, I am gonna go back and watch it, the good version, you know,
Yeah.
the real version. Even if I like fast forward through like stuff where I know nothing happens, you know, just to kind of see,
Just
you know,
get to
because
the first victim. Yeah, dude, that's
yeah,
where it
I respect, you know, like I respect the work that goes into this stuff, and I was just like, damn, I don't know, man. It was torturous. So please, anyone that is listening to this, you know, obviously I'm joking when I say don't watch this movie. You know, is don't fall into the trap that I did. Don't go into the Amazon.
You know, I think that the movie still suffers from sort of censorship issues, which is not surprising, right? Because you know, like YouTube is censoring like fucking words like rape and like all this other shit that you can't say, just words you can't say, right? Like it's crazy. Like Matt said, like it's a streaming movie. Why isn't it just uncut? That's a great question. I feel like we are
Can you
suffering.
say cock gobbler if you mean it as a compliment?
Yes. So stop being a cock gobbler.
Oh, thanks.
Wait, that's not a compliment.
Oh.
No, it was. Oh, you
No,
fucked
he
the
was
joke
saying
up, Jay. Get out
it.
of here. We are living in on the cusp of major censorships right now, and I don't think people really realize like how much it's affecting, you know, creators and stuff like that. But you know, the fact that you can't watch this for free anywhere, even actually, to be honest with you, I think that the Vudu version, which you could buy, is still cut. That's kind of a testament to like some of the things that are going on right now. It suffered back then, it's suffering again for whatever reason. And but I think it's a really good movie. It's a little bit different than some of the slashers that we know, right? Like some of the more like typical things and some of these old ones that are a little more like, you know, archaic. It's somewhere in the middle of all those things, and it is kind of unique. And I do enjoy the pacing of it, although I can agree it gets a little boring at times. I think that it's a good looking movie. It definitely keeps my interest most of the way through. It has some great themes and it's pretty well executed. So I highly recommend it. But again, like Matt said, you have to watch the version that was meant to be seen. So with that said, everybody, thank you very much for listening and have a good fucking night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Also, you can follow us on social media. We have Twitter, and that's at Sexy Vamp Teeth. We also have Instagram at the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. So if you guys want updates on the show, please follow us on our social media sites and make sure to tune in every Monday night for a new episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and good night.
You've been listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
And I'm going to just read you a few lines that I have written here.
You jerking off?
Oh, wait, hold on. I was petting Zuko. I'm going to read you some.
He's like, here's some good lines I came up with.
Oh, I'm going to.